With the Epiphany proclamation that we just heard, it was sort of the medieval equivalent of a parish calendar, I think, that we give out at the, you know, at the beginning of the new year. Gives you the beginnings of the Lenten season and all the way up to Advent beginning for next year. And one of the things that I think we can notice in, especially around the in the liturgy, in the text of Scripture that we have around the Christmas time, how emphatically historical it all is. You know, we, for example, have the genealogy from St. Matthew's Gospel listing Jesus' genealogy, or we have even the very famous account from Luke of the birth of Jesus. You know, it goes all about when so-and-so was governor of this province and this and that, really locating this in history and in a particular time, in the fullness of time. One of the interesting things, when you're trying to work out all the timing of things around the Easter feast, I mean, Christmas feast, it's a little tricky sometimes. This is the Feast of the Epiphany that we know what commemorates at least one aspect of it is the arrival of the wise men to worship the child Jesus. And we know this happens sometime after Christmas. We don't know exactly when. Of course, the wise men had to come a long way. We don't exactly know when they started, though. We don't know when they started to see the star and headed on their way. But traditionally, the date of Epiphany was January the 6th, which is 12 days after Christmas. That's where we get the 12 days of Christmas, actually. It's from December the 25th to January the 6th are the 12 days of Christmas. We anticipate it a little bit now to celebrate it on a Sunday. But in any case, be that as it may, one thing that we do know, it took a while for the wise men to get there. It took a while. In a sense, the Holy Family was waiting for them. It's interesting that the poor shepherds out in the fields by night got the word and bam, we're right there, the very night of Christmas. But these wise men, you know, with all their, you know, astrological things and bringing their rather preposterous gifts and stopping by to see King Herod on the way of all things and of all people, and then, you know, they kept the Holy Family waiting, we might say. And you know, I was reflecting on this. I was doing some spiritual reading yesterday, and it pointed out the fact of how often or how long God waits for us. You know, I have to admit that in my sort of, self-absorption, I sort of sometimes tend to get a little impatient with God. Okay, God, come on, let's get with it. I'm tired of waiting here, you know. And so when I ran across that yesterday, I felt like I'd been hit on the forehead with a 2x4, to tell you the truth. I went, oh my goodness. Think how long he's been waiting for me to respond to him in any sort of way that's worthy of his love for me. And frankly, he's still waiting. We need to really simplify our life of faith to one word. Yes. Yes. In this passage, this from 2 Corinthians was quoted in this book I was reading yesterday. It's also a verse that I really do like a lot. It's in the first chapter of 2 Corinthians. It says, in Jesus there was never yes and no. In him, it is always yes. And I got thinking about myself, how often with God, my response to God is really kind of yes and no. yes to the things, you know, that I like or want, or but no to other things. You know? Most especially to letting him call the shots. One of the ways in my own life, there's some sort of, I would say sort of passive-aggressive ways I do this with God. One of the ways is through worrying. You know, worrying is just an attempt to control something, you know? It's a sign of pride to think we're in control and we can worry about it, you know? Another one is procrastination. That's another attempt to control things, actually, to tell you the truth. But also wanting my way about things. Wanting or expecting other people to do things that I want, or that sort of thing. Rather than just surrendering everything into God's hands and accepting things as they come to me. That is a yes to God. Yes. You know, I was quoting the other day St. John Vianney, who somebody was saying to him one time that, the weather is really bad today. And he said, there are no bad days for the just man. There's no bad weather for the just man. Just for poor sinners, there is. You know, it's this expectation that we have that I ought to be able to call the shots, that I ought to be able to have things my way, rather than accepting everything from God with a big yes. Of course, that's what Jesus did. That's what this verse says. In him, it is always yes. And of course, in the Blessed Mother's case, in her, it was always yes as well. Be it done unto me according to thy word. It was really interesting to me when I was at the seminary, my second year there, I thought we'll have a verse that'll kind of be the theme for our semester. The first semester, it was a big hit with the seminarians. It was this verse about, you know, what we will later be, we now are called children of God, and so we are. They loved that. The second semester, I took this line, in him it is always yes. Oh my goodness, they thought I was trying to control them by that, to tell you the truth. I wasn't really trying to control them, I was trying to make them happy. But because that is the secret of our happiness, is to come quickly to God on his terms, sort of like the poor, simple shepherds who just heard the word from the angels and bam, we're there. The wise men, with their wealth and planning and plodding along, got there eventually, and maybe I will too, but it kept God waiting. And I just think so often how often I do that. Because I try to give God certain things, you know? I try to, like, my checkoff list, like, I'm being good, or whatever, or I'm doing this, or I believe that, or whatever, you know, this checkoff list. And, you know, really God isn't terribly interested in all that. Do you know what God wants? What he's waiting for? He's waiting for you and for me. That's what he wants. He wants us. He wants us to say, Lord, you can be Lord. Now the wise men, when they got there, they did. They presented their gifts, and they prostrated themselves, and they did him homage. But it took a while. I have to admit, it's taken a while for me to get to the place where I can really prostrate my entire life before the Lord and say, Lord, you be Lord of my life. You call the shots. Everything will be a yes to you. It's not going to be yes and no anymore. And so this day, it gives me a little encouragement, you know. The wise men eventually got there. They did. They eventually got there. And so maybe I will too. But they got it right when they did. They certainly did. They prostrated themselves before the Lord. They recognized this little baby in this very unlikely place, in these very unlikely circumstances, to be their God. And they said, yes.